بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our session number 7, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 2, Dr. Fahd Abd al-Rahim, Islamic University in Medina. And this is our preview course, to Medina Book 2. And what is intended by preview is that we want to, before going into the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, we want those students who have completed Medina Book 1 to have a chance to be introduced to Medina Book 2, primarily to look at some of the important grammar points that are covered in the first half of the book, and to have a chance to look at the vocabulary and to start memorizing it, so that once we complete this preview, when we go back into Medina Book 2, everyone will have a chance to have become familiarized with the material from Medina Book 2, and the transition from 1 to 2 will not be so difficult. That is our intent, and I hope, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is merely a preview of Medina Book 2, so that we can become familiar with it before we enter the full study of Medina Book 2. So, that being said, what we want to do is, we want to get like almost right into the lesson for today, lesson number 7, which the English key begins on page 23 and continues on 24, 25, and the vocabulary on page 26. So, there are 9 points of grammar in this particular lesson. We're going to cover those points. We're going to look at the vocabulary, just kind of familiarize ourselves with the vocabulary, and everybody should be trying to memorize some of this vocabulary, so that when we go back to the full study of Medina Book 2, you will already have memorized some of the words. If you didn't memorize all of them, at least try to memorize as many as possible, so that when you do the study of Medina Book 2 formally and completely, it will not be so difficult trying to memorize a large number of vocabulary in each lesson, and also trying to cover a large number of grammar points in each lesson if we already are familiar with some of them. Even if we missed some of them or we didn't quite comprehend some of them, no problem. We're going to go back, inshallah, we're going to do a full study once we complete this preview. So today, and hopefully for homework, everybody did do a quick review of the previous lessons 1 through 6. I'm not going to go into detail about what we covered in the previous lessons 1 through 6, simply because I want to take my time and do this lesson number 7, and I want to go back to lesson 6 just a little bit to go over one of the points from last week. But in any case, in lesson 1, the most important thing that you should be familiar with is inna wa akhawatuha. Inna is always used with a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, mubtada and khabar. The names of those two elements of the sentence change from mubtada and khabar to ismu inna and khabaru inna. And yani, we know that the ism inna is going to be mansoob. So it changed from being marfu'un to mansoob, and the khabar of inna remains marfu'un. Also in this lesson, we have one of the akhawatu inna, yani la'alla, and we saw others yani in the lessons that followed. And we also saw the word dhu, which means sahib, or the one who owns or possesses something. And we're going to see that again in this lesson. In this lesson number 7, you're going to see dhu as a not. So please, yani, make sure you're familiar with that. We also saw the interrogative sentence that uses am, meaning or, as opposed to au, which means or, and how that works. And we saw a few other things. But the main thing in lesson number 1 is that we should be familiar with inna wa akhawatuha, inna wa anna wa ka'anna wa la'alla, and so on. In lesson number 2, the main thing was laysa, and we said that laysa is also used with the jumla ismiya, and the mubtada and khabar, the two essential parts of the jumla ismiya, their name changed to ismu laysa and khabaru laysa. And the ruling concerning the ism laysa and khabaru laysa is the opposite of the ruling concerning ismu inna and khabaru inna. Okay, so ismu inna is mansoob and khabaru laysa is mansoob. Okay, so laysa is very important verb, and how it works, and we're going to come back to it again when we see how kana works in this lesson number 7. In lesson 3, we had the comparative and superlative degrees of the adjective on the pattern of af'alu at tafdil, and we explained that this pattern is used for singular as well as plural, masculine as well as feminine. If it has min following it, it means, for example, akbaru min, bigger than, or asgaru min, smaller than. If it doesn't have min, then it's the superlative form. And in that case, yani it's followed by a noun, which is mudaf ilayhi majrur. So you say, akbaru talibin, or akbaru jamiatin, yani the biggest. Yani with min, it's bigger. Without min, it's biggest. And also in this lesson, we had lakinna, which is from akhawatu inna and ka'anna. And we had the numbers. In this lesson number 3, and as well as in lesson number 6, we had the numbers. I'm going to take a look at that a little bit today before we start the lesson for today. In lesson 4, we went into some detail about the past tense verb, and we're going to complete the conjugation of the past tense verb in this lesson number 7. But in lesson number 4, we had most of the conjugation of the past tense verb. All of the third person forms, huwa, hiya, hum, and hunna. And we also had one of the second person forms, anta, and first person singular, ana, yani the verb forms for those pronouns. Yani huwa dhahaba, hiya dhahabat, hum dhahabu, hunna dhahabna, anta dhahabta, and ana dhahabtu. In lesson 6, we had further conjugation of the past tense verb, and in lesson 7, we're going to complete the conjugation of the past tense verb, keeping in mind that actually we did study the any basics of the conjugation of the past tense verb in book 1. So in this book 2, inshallah, we're going to cover it in a little bit more detail and a little more analysis of the past tense verb. Okay, so the main thing that we had in lesson 4 was conjugation of the past tense verb and the negation of the past tense verb by ma, and the difference between na'am and bala in a negative question in the negative. In lesson 5, we had introduction to the jumla fi'liya, the fi'l, fa'il, and maf'ulun bi. We said that the fa'il is always marfu'un. The primary sign that is marfu'un, yani in nominative case, is dhamma. And the maf'ulun bi is always mansubun. And the primary sign of it being mansub is that it takes fatha. We also said that both the fa'il and the maf'ulun bi could be a clear noun as well as a pronoun. And we looked at that yani in some detail. Inshallah, we'll come back to it when we do the full study of this book. Last week we covered lesson number 6, and we had just one more addition to the conjugation of the past tense verb. We had second person feminine singular, anti, the habti, and then we went over the numbers again that we had in lesson 3. We went over the numbers with the feminine ma'adud, we had adhunnu, and we had a couple of other points that we don't need to cover today. Inshallah, hopefully you reviewed them. But what I do want to do today is I want to just take a quick look at the numbers from 11 to 20. There was a question that came to me after the class last week, some concern about the details of the numbers. So I just want to look at that quickly. The numbers are covered in detail in lesson number 3. And then that's with the masculine ma'adud. And in this lesson number 6 that we had last week, we go back to the numbers again with the feminine ma'adud. Okay, so what I want to say about the numbers is this. There are just 3 or 4 points that a person has to know about the numbers. If you understand those points, the details, inshallah, we can get them later. But what is really a necessity to know about the numbers, if a person knows these 3 or 4 things, then inshallah, there shouldn't be a major problem for them. Okay, the first thing, the numbers from 11 to 20 have their own rules. Okay, I'm going to leave 20 off and just deal with 11 to 19. They have different rules than what we studied in book 1, the numbers from 1 to 10. Okay, so from the difference between them is that the numbers from 1 to 10, the ma'adud, the thing being counted. If you say, yani, 3 books. Okay, 3 is the adad, the number, and kutub, books, is the ma'adud, the thing being counted. Okay, so the thing being counted from 1 through 10, or 3 to 10, is going to be plural and majrur. Okay, it's going to be plural and majrur. So you're going to say the plural of kitab is kutub, and it's also going to be in the genitive case, majrur. Here, with the numbers from 11 to 19, the difference is that the ma'adud, the thing being counted, is not going to be plural, even though you're saying 11 books, or 12 books, or 19 books, but the ma'adud, the thing being counted, books, is going to be singular, not plural, it's going to be singular. The Arabic word that's used is going to be singular, and its case is not going to be like from 3 to 10 majrur, rather it's going to be mansub. Okay, so what do we need to know about the numbers from 11 to 19? They are different from 1 through 10 in that the thing being counted, the ma'dud, is going to be singular and it's going to be mansub in the accusative case. So you're going to say ahad ashara kawkaban. Kawkab is singular. And the fact that it ends with fathatain, kawkaban, okay, indicates that it's mansub, that it's in the accusative case. So what you need to know here for 11 to 19 is that the ma'adud, the thing being counted, is going to be singular, mufrad, and it's going to be mansub in the accusative case. So that's the first thing you need to know, that the thing being counted, we're going to use a singular form of the word. If we had 11 stars, 11 books, 11 students, 13 schools, 14 masjids, that word school or masjid or book or student is going to be in the singular form and it's going to be mansub in the accusative case. Okay, that's the first thing you need to know about the numbers from 11 through 19. That's also applicable for 20, but we don't want to deal with 20 right now. We just want to deal with 11 through 19. I just want to review that quickly. The second thing you need to know is that these numbers from 11 through 19 are compound numbers, meaning they're composed of two parts. Ahada ashara, tis'ata ashara, and so on like this. It has two numbers that come together, so it's a compound number. And because they are compound, they are mabniyun. That means that their ending is always going to be fatha. There are some exceptions to this. Don't worry about the exceptions. The general rule is that these numbers are compound numbers, therefore they're always going to end with fatha. Okay, they're mabniyun. Their vowel doesn't change if they're in the position where they should be marfu'un or mansubun or majrurun. They just remain fixed, mabniyun, fixed ending with fatha. Okay, so that means you don't have to worry about the i'rab of these numbers. Is it marfu'un? It takes dhamma. It's majrurun. It takes kasra. No, it's fatha all the time. It's fixed on fatha, meaning in Arabic, mabniyun. So that's the second thing you need to know, that these are compound numbers and they are mabniyun. The third thing that you need to know is that the relationship between the adad and the ma'adud, the number and the thing being numbered or counted, the relationship between them in terms of gender is going to be like this. For 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the thing being counted in gender and being masculine or feminine. 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be masculine if the ma'adud is masculine. Both parts of the number are going to be feminine if the ma'adud is feminine. Okay, that's for 11 and 12. That both parts of the number are going to be the same gender as the thing being counted. For 13 to 19, and this is the last thing that you need to know about these numbers, for 13 to 19, the first part of the number, of the two parts of the compound number, the first part is going to be opposite the thing being counted in gender. And the second part is going to be in agreement with it. So if the thing being counted is feminine, the first part of the number is going to be opposite, masculine. And the second part is going to be in agreement with it, feminine. If the thing being counted is masculine, the first part of the number is going to be opposite, feminine. And the second part is going to be in agreement with it, masculine. Okay, so this is what you need to know about the numbers. This is what we went over last week, and this is the summary of it. Yani, number one, that the ma'adud, the thing being counted, is always going to be singular, and it's going to be mansub. Singular. And it's going to be mansub in the accusative case with fatha. The second thing you need to know is that these are compound numbers, so they're always going to be mabniyun, fixed on fatha. The exception is with the number 12. We'll look at that in detail when we come back to the full study of this book. But basically, these numbers are mabniyun on fatha. The third thing you need to know is that the number and the thing being numbered, the adad and the ma'adud, have a relationship between one another in terms of gender, in terms of their being masculine or feminine. So for the numbers 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be the same as the thing being counted, masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine. With 13 to 19, the first part of the number is going to be opposite, the second part is going to be in agreement with it. So this is the summary of what we discussed last week concerning the numbers from 11 to 20. I didn't mention number 20 because there's no special rule for 20. It doesn't matter. Even if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine, 20 doesn't change. It remains the same all the time. And its ma'adud is just like 11 through 19. It's going to be singular and it's going to be in the accusative case mansub. Alright? So, these numbers we're going to study when we go back to the full study of Medina Book 2. We're going to study them in Lesson 3 and we're going to study them again in Lesson 6. So you're going to have two more chances to study them. at least if you're familiar with it now, and you have some idea what's happening here, that they are mabniyun, they're fixed on fatah, that the number and the thing being counted have a relationship in terms of their gender, masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine, and so on like this. At least if you have that idea in your head, then inshallah you have a preview and you have become acquainted with the numbers, and inshallah when we go back and study them in detail and go through the full explanation of these grammatical points and read the text and do the exercises, inshallah, hopefully you'll find that it won't be as difficult as the first time you heard this information. Okay, so I just wanted to go through that a little bit today before we go into the lesson for today. And with that being said, we're going to go into the lesson for today. Lesson number 7, English Key, begins on page 23. English Key, page 23. So, what I want to say first is that this particular lesson has 9 points, okay? And as usual, the first point is usually the most important. There are some other important points here as well, especially point number 4 that deals with dhu, and point number 5 that deals with kana, or point number 6, I'm sorry, 5 and 6, kana and dhu, okay? The other matters are not unimportant, but they are not as important, okay? So I want you to keep in mind that even though there are 9 points in this particular lesson, some of them are fundamental, yani primary, yani fundamental points that we must understand. Some of them are secondary points that, yani, we'll pass over them. We're not going to spend a lot of time with them. If you get them, fine. If not, when we come back to the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, we'll go into some detail about some of the secondary points as well. Okay, so this lesson, as I said, contains 9 points. It begins on page 23 of the English Key, lesson number 7. And the first point, or the first 3 points, are merely the completion of the conjugation of the past tense verb. And again, I want to emphasize, this is a preview for Medina Book 2. However, the conjugation of the past tense verb, the fi'l madi, we studied at least its fundamentals in Medina Book 1. We completed it in Medina Book 1. Here, in this Medina Book 2, we're just going into some further detail and more complete analysis of the verb and how it functions, what part of the verb is the fa'il, the pronoun that's the fa'il, how that works, and what are the names of some of those things. We're going to study that in a little bit more detail in this lesson, in this book number 2. Okay, so we were introduced to it in lesson number 4, and in lesson 5 we had the fi'il fa'il maf'ulun bih. In lesson 6 we had one more pronoun for the conjugation of the past tense verb, and in lesson 7 we have 3 more, completing 10, everything except the duals. Okay, so there are 10 pronouns that are attached to the past tense verb, and the last 3 of them we're going to take in this lesson. So the first 3 points are really just the completion of the conjugation of the past tense verb, which we actually had in Medina Book 1, except that in this lesson we're going into a little more detail about them. Okay, so here we're just going to, the first point, it says on page 23, lesson 7, in this lesson we learn the following. Okay, in this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, ذهبتم. That means you, masculine plural, went. You went, meaning you all, masculine, you're speaking to males, and there are 3 or more, so you're saying you all went. You, masculine plural, went. ذهبتم. Another example, أكلتم. You, meaning group of men, you all ate. أكلتم. And similar examples, جلستم, you sat. قرأتم, you read. كتبتم, you wrote, and so on. So the pronoun on the end of the original verb ذهبَ, the pronoun is تُم. This is the second person masculine plural pronoun for the past tense verb. Second person masculine plural. What do we mean by second person? I mean the one you're speaking to. The speaker is the first person. The one that the speaker is speaking to is the second person. Masculine means that you're speaking to a male or a group of males, and plural means that it's 3 or more. Second person, masculine plural, meaning you're speaking to a group of males, and you're saying to them, ذهبَ, but yani the pronoun that you use for second person, masculine plural, is تُم. So you're saying, ذهبتم. ذهبتم أكلتم جلستم. They gave you an example. For example, ماذا أكلتم يا إخوانو؟ ماذا أكلتم يا إخوانو؟ What did you eat, brothers? What did you all, group of men or males, what did you all eat? يا إخوانو, all brothers. Okay, the next point, number two, is the second person feminine plural. Okay, ذهبتم is second person masculine plural. Here we go to the second person feminine plural. So that means you're speaking directly to a group, plural, a group of females. Group of females. ذهبتم, speaking to a group of men. ذهبتن, you're speaking to a group of women. ذهبتن, you see that the pronoun added to the end is تن. Ta with dhamma, noon with shadda and fatta. تن. So the second person masculine plural is تم, and the second person feminine plural is تن. Means you, feminine plural, went. You all, females, group of females, you speaking to them, you said, قرأتن, you all read. أكلتن, you all ate. Okay? So these are the second person, masculine and feminine plurals for the past tense verb. The last one that we didn't take yet is point number three, ذهبنا. This represents, ذهبنا means we went. Another example, سمعنا, we heard. In a sentence, ما سمعنا الأذان, we did not hear the أذان. Remember that ما is the particle of negation that's used with the past tense verb. ما سمعنا, we did not hear الأذان. Okay, so this third point, ذهبنا, again, the pronoun that's attached to the end of it, in this case, is نون فتا ألف, نا. Noon, fatta, alif, na. Okay, so we have three pronouns here that we attach to the verb. For the second person masculine plural, we have tum. So we say, ذهبتم, second person feminine plural, ذهبتن, and first person plural, ذهبنا. So the pronouns that we have in this particular lesson that complete the conjugation of the past tense verb is tum for a group of men, تن with shadda for a group of women, and na. Fatta with elongation. Na, yani when, yani the speaker is a group, is yani three or more. We did something. We heard, or we ate, or we read, or whatever. Na. So, with these three points, we complete the conjugation of the past tense verb, except for the duals, which we'll take in the end of book two, when we study book two. The next point, number four, in this lesson, is the expression رأيتموه. رأيتموه, you saw him. You saw him. Now, what I want to note here before I read any further in the examples that they give after this, what I want to note here is that this expression رأيتموه is from the verb رأى, to see, and it's for the second person masculine plural that we just had in point number one, تم. Okay, so it became رأيتم, except that this meme in رأيتم has a dhamma and a wow following it, and that's something that's extra, that's special only for the second person masculine plural forms of the past tense verb. If that verb is followed by a pronoun, instead of saying رأيتم who, what they do is they add the vowel dhamma elongated by wow, and then they put the pronoun. They don't add the pronoun, they don't add a pronoun directly to this form of the past tense verb. This is special only for the second person masculine plural. For other forms of the past tense verb, the pronoun is attached directly to it, as you'll see in what follows. But for this form, second person masculine plural form, only when you're speaking to a group of males in the past tense, you cannot add a pronoun directly to it. Rather, you have to separate the verb رأيتم or جلستم or كتبتم. You have to separate it from the pronoun that's being attached to it by dhamma and wow. So you're going to add a dhamma and a wow, and then the pronoun is joined to it. Okay? So the original form of this expression is رأيتم, Meem with sukun instead of meem with dhamma followed by waw. It's ra'aytum and then the pronoun who. And that means, ra'aytum means antum, you all, group of men, you all saw who, him. You all saw him. Okay? But for this form of the verb, special for second person, masculine plural form of the verb, before they attach a pronoun to it, they're going to add a dhamma and a waw. So ra'aytum hu became ra'aytumuhu. You saw him. Unlike other forms of the past tense verb, we say, for example, I saw him, ra'aytu, that's the verb, ra'aytu ana, ra'aytu, and you attach the pronoun directly to it, ra'aytuhu. Or you, masculine singular, ra'ayta, you attach the pronoun directly to it, ra'aytahu, you saw him. If it was second person, feminine singular, ra'ayti, you attach the pronoun directly to it, ra'aytihi. Ra'aytihi. You, feminine singular, saw him. Okay, so in other forms of the verb, you just attach the pronoun directly to it. Ra'aytu, hu. Ra'ayta, hu. Ra'ayti, he. Okay, the note that we want to make here in reference to this last example, ra'aytihi, note that the last example, in the last example, the pronoun hu, him, has changed here to he. And instead of ha with dhamma, became ha with kasra. This change is for vocalic harmony, just for the sound. Yani, this combination of ti-hi sounds better than ti-hu. Okay, so the Arabs didn't like to say ra'ayti-hu. So they changed the hu to he, yani just for pronunciation reasons. Ra'ayti-hi. It's just for vocalic harmony. The combination of ti-hi sounds better than ti-hu. Here are some more examples of this kind of change. Yani the expression baytu hu, yani baytu means house, right? Baytu hu means his house. But if there was fi before it, then baytu becomes bayti, right? Because it's the object of the preposition. So baytu after fi, the object of the preposition becomes majrur, so it takes kasra. Fi bayti, and because the hu is preceded by kasra, then it changes from who to he. And this is a general rule. The pronoun who, whenever it's preceded by a letter with kesra or ya with sukun, then who becomes he. And we'll learn more about this in the future. But it's just for sound. It has nothing to do with grammar. It's just because they don't like the sound of kesra followed by dhamma. He, who. So they say, bayti he, ra'ayti he. Okay, another example. Min hu, the preposition min plus the pronoun hu, min hu, but if it was before it, yani ya with sukun fi, instead of saying fi hu, you say fi hi. That's because what? Because the hu, whenever it's preceded by a kesra or ya with sukun, here we have ya with sukun, fi hi. Okay, in the previous one we had fi baytihi. It's preceded by kesra or preceded by ya with sukun. It changes from hu to he. Alright, so that's a note in reference to the example ra'aytihi, fi baytihi, fi hi. The hu becomes he. Alright, but the main point, number four, is that the second person, masculine, plural, past tense verb form, ra'aytum, jalastum, akeltum, katabtum, this form of the past tense verb, if you attach a pronoun to it, you have to separate it by making the meme at the end, ra'aytum, the pronoun tum, takes a dhamma, elongated by waw, and then you can add the pronoun to it. Alright? So, let's just go down a little bit further after the note about yani ra'aytihi. It says, as you have seen in these examples, the above examples, the accusative pronoun, yani the pronoun that's attached directly to the end of the verb, is directly added to the verb, yani in ra'aytuhu, and ra'aytahu, and ra'aytihi. The pronoun is directly added to the verb. But in the case of the verb with the pronoun of the second person masculine plural, like ra'aytum, or jalastum, or dhahabtum, or dakhaltum, this second person masculine plural, form of the verb. A wow has to be added between the verb and the pronoun. Yani dhamma and wow. Dhamma elongated by wow. For example, ra'aytumuhu. Yani ra'aytumuhu is originally ra'aytum. Yani meme with sukun. Ra'aytum. And then dhamma and wow are added to separate the verb form from the pronoun hu. Ra'aytumuhu. You all. Ra'aytum means you all saw. You all saw who? Him. You all saw him. Okay, I know there's a note here at the bottom of the page, the footnote, and it's related to yani the dhamma being pronounced long or short. I'm going to skip this footnote now. We'll do it when we come back to the original book. You can read it on your own. It's just a matter of yani the pronoun who is sometimes elongated to two counts, and sometimes it's not elongated as one count. Okay, so that's a special rule. It's not so important to us at this moment, so I don't want to like make it more complicated than is necessary. The main thing you need to know from point number 4 is simply that the past tense verb, second person masculine plural, when you're speaking to a group of men, that form of the verb, it's the pronoun is tum. Ta, dhamma, meme with sukun. Whenever you have a verb with that tum on the end of it, if you want to add a pronoun as the object of the verb, that pronoun is going to be separated from the verb by dhamma wow. That's what we want to take out of point number 4. If you turn the page, they give us some examples, more examples, okay? So they have ra'aytumuhum. Again, the verb form, the original form is ra'aytum, you all saw. You all saw, but I want to add a pronoun. Who did they see? The object of the verb? You all saw them, whom. Ra'aytumuhum. You all saw her. Ra'aytumuha. You all saw them. Female, group of females. You all saw a group of females. Ra'aytumuhun. Okay, so what is happening here is when the pronoun hum and the pronoun ha and the pronoun hunna is added to ra'aytum, yani they are separated by dhamma and wow. They are separated by dhamma and wow. Here are some more examples. Ghasaltum, right? That's the second person masculine plural form of the verb. You all washed. Ghasaltum, plus I want to add the object. What was washed? The maf'ulun bi. Here, the pronoun, when I'm adding a pronoun to this form of the verb, this is special only for the second person masculine plural past tense verb when you're speaking to a group of men. Ghasaltum plus hu. Yani, the meme with sukun is going to become dhamma, elongated by wow, and then the pronoun is attached to it. So it became ghasaltum, ghasaltumuhu. You all washed it. Qataltum. Yani, you all killed. The pronoun that I want to add to it is hum, but I have to separate it by dhamma and wow. So qataltum plus hum becomes qataltumuhum. You all killed them. You all asked her. Sa'altum plus ha. Sa'altum, you all asked. The object of the verb is ha. Who did you ask? Her. So sa'altum, meme with sukun. If you want to add a pronoun to it, you have to separate it by making that meme dhamma elongated by wow. Sa'altum ha became sa'altumuha. You all asked her. So that's point number 4. Yani, of all of the past tense conjugation, the past tense verb, only one of them has this special rule. That's when you're speaking to a group of men. Second person, masculine, plural. Yani the pronoun tum. Ta, dhamma, meme with sukun. That meme with sukun is vowelized with a dhamma elongated by wow. So this wow separates this form of the verb from a pronoun that is attached to it as the object of the verb. You saw them. That's the object of the verb, them. You saw her. Her is the object of the verb. You saw them, yani feminine plural. Them, yani hunna. And so that is the object of the verb, hunna. Ra'aytumu hunna. Ghasaltumuhu. Qataltumuhum. Sa'altumuha. All right, I hope that this is clear. In any case, this is a preview, so we're just trying to familiarize you with some of these grammatical points that we're going to study in detail later on. Point number five is the verb kana, which means he was. Kanat, she was, and so on like this. It is used in a nominal sentence. Yani kana, like we saw laysa before, and we're going to come back to all of that in further detail. Yani kana, like laysa, is only used with a nominal sentence. So the nominal sentence is composed of two parts, mubtada and khabar. The mubtada and khabar now become ismu kana and khabaru kana. And ismu kana is going to be marfu'un, and the khabar of kana is going to be mansub. That's if it's a clear noun. If it's not a yani shibba jumla, if it's not a jawal majrua, okay, if it's not a preposition and the object of a preposition, if it's one single clear noun, that clear noun is going to be mansub. Alright, so let's look at this. Kana, it means he was. It's used with a nominal sentence. For example, here's a nominal sentence. Bilalun fil fasli. Bilalun fil fasli. Bilal is right now in the class. Bilal is in the class. But if I wanted to say Bilal was in the class, now I'll use kana, because kana means what? He was, or she was, kanat, or they were, kanu, and so on. Alright? So I want to put it into the past tense, so I'm going to use kana. So, Bilalun fil fasli becomes kana Bilalun fil fasli. Kana, Bilal was in the class. Alright? So, what we want to note here, and we're going to look at it in detail a little bit further now, is that the ism of kana, which was the mubtada, remains marfu'un. Bilalun with dhamma. Bilalun, it remains after kana. Bilalun remains marfu'un with dhamma. Kana bilalun fil fasli. Another example. Al-mudarrisu fil maktabati. Al-mudarrisu, the teacher, is fi in al-maktabati, the library. The teacher is in the library. I want to change that and say, he's left now. So I want to say what? The teacher was in the library. So I'm just use kana. Al-mudarrisu fil maktabati. Kana al-mudarrisu fil maktabati. The teacher was in the library. Another example. Al-qalamu tahtal kitabi. Tahtal kitabi. Al-qalamu, the pen, is under the book. Tahta al-kitabi. The pen is under the book. Now I want to change that and say the pen, it's not there anymore. So I'm saying the pen was under the book. Al-qalamu tahta al-kitabi. Kana al-qalamu tahta al-kitabi. The pen was under the book. And again, this is a verb. Kana is a verb. So it's going to be conjugated, right? Huwa kana, hiya kanat, and so on. So let's see example with hiya. Zainabu fil matbakhi. Zainabu fil matbakhi. Zainab is right now in the kitchen. After she left, now I'll say she, Zainab, was in the kitchen. So, Zainabu fil matbakhi. She was in the kitchen. Kanat Zainabu fil matbakhi. Kanat. Because kanat is the feminine form of kana. Just like kataba, katabat. Jalasa, jalasat. Kana, kanat. So the ta with sukun at the end of this verb form, third person, feminine singular, indicates that the verb is feminine. It indicates the distinction between kana, masculine, he was, yani to kanat, feminine, she was. Zainab was in the kitchen. So these examples, it says here, you will notice here that the khabar in each of these examples is a clause. A clause. Any either a prepositional clause or an adverbial clause. It's a clause with a preposition or an adverb. Alright? So you notice that the clause in each of these is what? Fil maktabati. Fil matbakhi. Taht al kitabi. Fil fasli. Okay? So these are all either a preposition with the object of the preposition or an adverb. Yani underneath. Tahta is an adverb. Okay, so that would be an adverbial clause or an adverbial phrase. If it's a preposition, it's a prepositional phrase or prepositional clause. So they're saying here what? You will notice here that the khabar in each of these examples is a clause. Yani a clause. Fil maktabi. Fil matbakhi. Tahta al-kitabi. No change takes place in a clause after the introduction of kana. Yani there's some details to this that we'll study in level 3. But what is important here is, if the khabar of kana is a clause, we don't see any change. But if it's a clear noun, now we'll see that there is a change. It's going to become mansub, all right? So if it's a clause, yani, there's no change after the introduction of kana. But if the khabar is a noun, a clear noun, it is rendered mansub after the introduction of kana. For example, Bilalun maridun. Bilal is sick. Kana Bilalun maridun. Bilal was sick. Notice that Bilalun, the mubtada is marfu'un. Maridun, the khabar is marfu'un. But after kana, Bilal, which now is the ism kana, remains marfu'un. But maridun, the khabar, when it becomes khabaru kana, becomes mansub. So what do we want to know about this? We will learn this in detail in lesson 25, inshallah. But what you want to know right now is that when you utilize kana with a nominal sentence, the mubtada and khabar are no longer mubtada and khabar. Now they become ismu kana and khabaru kana. And the ismu kana, like we heard before with laysa, ismu laysa is marfu'un with dhamma. It remains marfu'un. But the khabar becomes mansub with fatha. Okay, that's what you want to understand from kana. We're going to study this in detail in the last part of the book, lesson 25. But for now, you just need to have an idea that kana means he was. If you want to know some of the details about kana, then what you need to know is that kana is used with a jumla ismi, a nominal sentence, and the names of the mubtada and khabar change to ismu kana and khabaru kana, and the ismu kana remains marfu'un, but the khabaru kana becomes mansub. Unless it is a clause, a shibr jumla, a preposition with this object or an adverb and what follows it. If it's a clause, then there's no change in it. But if it's a clear noun, that clear noun is going to become mansub. So, the same thing we said about laysa, we're going to say about kana. Yani, it's only used with a jumla ismiya, nominal sentence, and the mubtada becomes ismu kana marfu'un, and the khabar becomes khabaru kana mansub. Same like we said about laysa, because laysa actually is from the akhawatu kana. Just like we had inna wa akhawatuha, so we have kana wa akhawatuha, and laysa is from the akhawat of kana, means it works like it. It's used with a nominal sentence. It makes the mubtada become its ism, and it remains marfu'un. It makes the khabar becomes its khabar, and it becomes mansub. Again, we're going to study kana in lesson 25 in detail, but we'll look at it a little bit in this lesson, number 7, when we come back to the full study of Medina Book 2. Let me just take a look at the time, track of the time. Tayyib. So we're halfway through our time. Okay. The next point on the bottom of page 24 is point number 6. Note the following, and this point is related to the word dhu, which we had in a previous lesson, but we didn't go into this kind of detail. We just said dhu, its meaning is the possessor or the owner of something, and we said that dhu is always used in idalfa, so the word following it is always going to be mudhaf ilayhi majrur. That's what we said previously. And we said the other yani forms of dhu, its feminine form is dhawu, masculine plural is dhawu, its feminine form is that, yani, and so on. We mentioned that in the previous lesson when we looked at the word dhu. So what I want to say here though is that in this lesson we're looking at dhu as a naat, when it's used as a naat. And if it is a not, remember that the not always agrees with the man'ut. And he also known as a sifa. Sifa agrees with the mawsuf. Okay? In this book, they're using the expression not. Not means an adjective. And the adjective has to agree with the thing that it is qualifying or describing. With the man'ut. It has to agree with it in four things. It has to agree with them indefinite or indefinite, masculine or feminine, singular, dual or plural, and in its i'rab, being marfu'un or mansub or majrur. So what we were looking at here is being definite or indefinite. The not has to agree with the word that it's describing in being definite or indefinite. So if dhu is used as a not to describe a word that's definite, you have to make dhu definite. But since dhu is always used in idhafa, and we learned in book 1, lesson number 4 or 5, I think lesson 5, we learned that in an idhafa construction, the first part, the mudhaf, never takes alif lam or tanween, but rather it becomes definite by making the word that follows it, the mudhaf ilayhi, definite. If the word that follows it is definite, then the mudhaf becomes definite. If the word that follows it is indefinite, then the mudhaf remains indefinite. So here, in this point, in this lesson, we want to look at dhu as a not. When it's a not, it has to agree with the man'ut. But if the man'ut is definite, we can't make dhu definite by adding alif lam, because we learned in lesson 5, book 1, that the mudhaf, the first part of an idhafa construction, never takes alif lam. How does it become definite? By the word that follows it being definite. If the word that follows it is definite, then it automatically becomes definite with alif without alif lam, and that's what we're looking at in this lesson. Okay, so let's look at what it says. Point number 6, bottom of page 24, note the following. A bearded man, meaning a man that is described as having a beard. A lihya. It says, rajulun dhu lihyatin. A man possessing a beard. Look at the next sentence. The bearded man. Yani the man is being described as having a beard. In the first one is a man, indefinite. In the second one, the man, definite. So if not is describing a man, I mean if thu is a not describing a man, it has to be indefinite. But if thu is a not describing the man, then dhu has to be definite. We can't add alif lam. So what happens? The word following it takes alif lam, making dhu definite so that it's in agreement with ar-rajulu. Look at the first example. Rajulun, indefinite. Dhu lihyatin. Lihyatin is indefinite, so dhu is indefinite like rajulun. In the second example, ar-rajulu dhu al-lihyati. Al-lihyati is definite, so it makes dhu definite so that it's in agreement with ar-rajulu. Okay, dhu as a not has to agree with ar-rajulu. Ar-rajulu is definite. We can't add alif lam to dhu, so we add it to the mudhaf ilayhi al-lihya. Okay, let's turn to page 25. It says in the first example, dhu qualifies an indefinite noun, yani rajulun. And in the second example, it qualifies a definite noun, ar-rajulu. Alright? So these are two examples. In the first case, it's qualifying a noun that's indefinite. In the second case, it's qualifying a noun that's definite. We know that the adjective of a definite noun should also be definite. But dhu is mudhaf, first part of an idhafa construction, and cannot take alif lam or tanween. So this is overcome by making the mudhaf ilayhi, the word following dhu, by making it definite, by adding alif lam to that word, al-lihya. And therefore, dhu becomes definite, and therefore agrees with ar-rajulu, yani which is definite. So in rajulun, indefinite, rajulun dhu lihyatin, the mudhaf ilayhi remains indefinite. And so dhu is indefinite. And in ar-rajulu dhu al-lihyati, it becomes definite. Al-lihya becomes definite with alif lam, therefore making dhu definite, and so that it can agree with the definite word that is qualifying ar-rajulu. Here are some more examples. What we want to note here is that dhu, when it's an adjective, a not, describing a word, it has to agree with that word in four things. The one we're looking at here is agreeing with it and being definite or indefinite. So if the word is qualifying is indefinite, then we don't have to do anything. It's mudhaf ilayhi is indefinite, it's fine. But if the word that it's qualifying is definite, in order for it to become definite, we have to make the mudhaf ilayhi, the word following dhu, we have to make it definite with alif lam. Dhu then becomes definite, and therefore it agrees with the word that it is qualifying. That's definite. Okay, so let's look at three examples they give us here. The first one, the word that ذو is qualifying is indefinite. كتابٌ with تنوين. عندي كتابٌ ذو غلافٍ جميلٍ. I have a book with a beautiful cover. عندي I have كتابٌ, a book, indefinite, a book that's described as what? ذو غلافٍ, possessing a cover. Possessing a cover. So since kitabun is indefinite, we want ذو to be indefinite. How do we do that? We make sure that the مضاف إليه غلاف is indefinite. غلافٍ is indefinite with تنوين. Therefore ذو is indefinite. Therefore it agrees with كتابٌ, which is indefinite. And then they have another word here, جميل, which is a not describing غلاف. What kind of cover? A beautiful cover. I have a book possessing a cover. ذو غلافٍ. What kind of cover? A beautiful cover. غلافٍ جميلٍ. So in this example, the word that's being qualified by ذو is indefinite. So ذو becomes indefinite by its مضاف إليه غلافٍ being indefinite. The second example. الكتاب ذو الغلاف الجميل غالٍ. The book with the beautiful cover is expensive. الكتاب, the book, that's described as what? ذو الغلاف, possessing the book, possessing the cover. Here, يعني الكتاب is definite, and we want to make ذو definite. How? By the مضاف إليه الغلاف being definite. الغلاف is described by a not الجميل, so the beautiful cover. So what we're saying here, what? الكتاب, the book, ذو الغلاف الجميل, possessing the beautiful cover, is غالٍ expensive. Is غالٍ expensive. Okay, ذو has to be definite because الكتاب is definite. How do we make it definite? The مضاف إليه الغلاف being definite. Third example. في قريتنا مسجد indefinite. This is the word that's being qualified. It's indefinite. So ذو has to be indefinite. في قريتنا مسجد ذو منارة واحدة. In our village, there's a mosque with one minaret. في قريتنا. قرية is a village. في قريتنا. In our village is a masjid, a mosque with one, possessing one minaret. Masjidun is the word that we're qualifying. It's indefinite, so ذو has to be indefinite. How? By the مضاف إليه مناراتٍ being indefinite with تنوين. مناراتٍ is indefinite, so ذو becomes indefinite, so it's in agreement with masjidun, which is the word that is qualifying. And واحدةٍ, واحدةٍ is not describing منارة. What kind of منارة? واحدة, one منارة. In our village is a masjid, indefinite, possessing a manara, yani one manara, manaratin wahidatin. And the last example he gave us, al-masjidu dhu al-manarati al-wahidati qadimun. The mosque with one minaret is old. Here, dhu is a not describing al-masjidu. Al-masjidu is definite, so dhu has to be definite. How? It's mudaf ilayhi, takes alif lam. Al manaratin, ذو المنارتي. I'm talking المنارتي with a single vowel because it's definite here. So المنارتي is definite, therefore ذو becomes definite, therefore agreeing with المسجد, which is definite. الواحدتي is a not describing المنارتي. It's a not describing المنارتي. And قديمٌ is the خبر, the masjid possessing the one minaret is old. Okay, so the summary of this point number 6 is what? The summary is that ذو is a word that's always used in إضافة. Therefore, if it is used as a not describing a word that's definite, you have to make ذو definite. How do you make it definite? By the مضاف إليه being definite. We said that in lesson 5, book 1, يعني the إضافة construction, the first part, the مضاف, never takes ألف لام or تنوين, but rather it becomes definite if the word connected to it is definite. So if you want to make ذو definite, you have to make the word following it, the مضاف إليه definite, ذو becomes definite, and therefore agrees with the نات that is describing if that نات, I mean the منعوت that is describing if that منعوت is definite. That's what we wanted to say about point number 6. And then the last three points that we want to look at are point number 7, the letter ميم. In the pronouns that follow. The pronouns that follow. I want to read those pronouns, the Arabic pronouns, from right to left. From the right side of the page to the left side. So the first one will be أنتم. أنتم is the second person. Masculine plural pronoun. Personal pronoun. أنتم. أنتم مسلمون. You all are Muslims. كتابكم. The pronoun كم here, that's attached to كتاب, is the second person, masculine plural, also possessive pronoun. Yani antum is the personal pronoun. Kum is the possessive pronoun, showing possession. Kitabukum, the book of you all, you all's book. Then those are second person, masculine plurals. But personal pronoun, antum, possessive pronoun, kitabukum. Kum is the pronoun. Third person, masculine plural pronouns. Hum is the personal pronoun, they. Kitabuhum, here it's hum, the same hum, but it's used as a possessive pronoun because it's in idafa to kitab, meaning the book of you all, you all's book. So in the first case, hum is used as a personal pronoun, and kitabuhum is used as a possessive pronoun. So here we have the second person, masculine plural, personal pronoun antum, possessive pronoun kum, and then we have the third person, masculine plural, personal pronoun hum, possessive pronoun hum, and we have one more, number 5. We have the habtum. Tum is the pronoun here. It's also second person, masculine, plural. All these are masculine plurals, either second person or third person. Here we have the habtum, second person, masculine, plural pronoun, when it's attached to a verb as the fa'il, the habtum. In these 5 cases, all of them are masculine, all of them are plurals, most of them are second person, masculine, plurals, 2 of them are third person, masculine, plurals. All of these pronouns, personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, and the pronoun that's attached as the fa'il to a verb, they all, what do they have in common? They all end with mim, with sukoon. That's what they have in common. So, what they're saying here, point number 7. The letter mim in these 5 types of pronouns, antum, kitabukum, hum, kitabuhum, and the habtum, these pronouns, the meme in all of these pronouns has sukoon. And this sukoon changes to dhamma when followed by hamzatul wasl. So anytime you see these 5 pronouns, second person plurals and third person plural, personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, and the fa'il attached to the verb. Whenever you see these pronouns ending with meme with sukoon, if they're followed by a word with hamzatul wasl, you have iltiqa sakinain, the meeting of 2 sakin letters. How do you get rid of it? You put a dhamma on this meme. Remember in lesson 5, we had the tanween. Tanween, when it's followed by hamzatul wasl, it takes kasra to eliminate iltiqa sakinain. Here, in this lesson, we have the meme with sukoon in these 5 types of pronouns. When it's followed by hamzatul wasl, instead of kasra, in this case you use dhamma. So we'll see different cases and different situations where you have iltiqa sakinain. Sometimes it's eliminated by adding a kasra, as we saw in lesson 5, point number 3. In this case, it's eliminated by adding dhamma to the meme with sukoon. This is specific to the meme with sukoon. That's a pronoun in the second or third person masculine plural pronouns. Alright? So now they give you some examples of that. The meme with sukoon, we have to add a dhamma in order to eliminate iltiqa sakinain when it's followed by hamzatul wasl, either in alif lam or other than that. First example, baytukum. If this kum, meme with sukoon, is followed by alif lam, as in baytukum al-jadidu, then baytukum becomes baytukumul jadidu. Yani the meme takes dhamma. Baytukumul jadidu, meaning baytukum is your house, al-jadid means your new house. Baytukum, baytukumul jadidu, means you all's new house. The next example, ra'aytum. Ra'aytum, you all saw. Second person masculine, plural, you all saw. Here, the tum here is the fa'il attached to the past tense verb. Tum. Second person, masculine plural. Tum. Ra'aytum. Ra'aytum al-imama. Ra'aytum al-imama. Here, because al-imam, it begins with hamzatul wasl, alif lam. So, in order to eliminate iltiqa sakinay, meem with sukoon followed by alif lam, we're going to add a dhamma to the meem here. Ara'aytumul imama. Ara'aytum al-imama becomes ara'aytumul imama. Did you all see the imam? Here I want to note that this form of the past tense verb, second person, masculine, plural, we said earlier in this lesson, that when a pronoun is attached to this form of the verb, then we have to add a waw, dhamma waw. That's when a pronoun is added. But here there's no pronoun, it's just iltiqa sakinain, so we're just adding a vowel to remove iltiqa sakinain. That vowel is a dhamma. The next example, kitabuhum, third person, masculine plural pronoun, possessive pronoun, attached to the noun. Kitabuhum, the meme has sukoon. In the next, and if we complete the sentence, kitabuhum al-qadimu, yani, their old book, kitabuhum al-qadimu, hum, originally had sukoon, it's followed by alif lam, iltiqa sakinain. How do we get rid of it? We add a dhamma. Kitabuhumu, kitabuhum al-qadimu, their old book. The last example they gave us is sa'altum, yani, you all asked. Here, tum here, is the second person masculine plural form of the verb, when any the pronoun when it's attached to a verb. Pronoun when it's attached to a verb. Sa'altum. Here the pronoun tum ends with meem with sukoon. If we complete the sentence and add something else to it so that it's followed by hamzatul wasl, yani, then we have iltiqa sakinain. We get rid of it by adding a dhamma to the meem with sukoon. So, asa'altum ibnahu, yani ibnahu begins with sukoon. Sa'altum ends with sukoon. Iltiqa sakinain, get rid of it by adding a dhamma to the meme. Asa'altumubnahu. Asa'altumubnahu. Did you all ask his son? Okay, so point number 7, what is it? It's that the meme with sukoon in these pronouns, they're all second or third person masculine plural pronouns. Personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, and the pronoun that is attached to a verb as the subject fa'il. These pronouns that end with meem with sukoon, if they follow by hamzatul wasl, either in alif lam or other than that, then in order to eliminate iltiqa sakinain, the meeting, yani the back-to-back two letters with sukoon, we're adding a dhamma to the meem with sukoon. Yani this particular point might seem a little bit complex, but and when we come back to this lesson, inshallah, and we remember that these are certain pronouns, they're all masculine pronouns, they are all plural pronouns, most of them are second person, some of them are third person, they are possessive pronouns, personal pronouns, and they're also pronouns, yani the fa'il, the subject that's attached to the past tense verb. In any case, what they have in common, they all end with meem with sukoon. If it's followed by another letter with sukoon, hamzatul wasl, then we have two back-to-back letters with sukoon. You have to get rid of that. In this case, you get rid of it by changing the meme with sukoon to meme with dhamma. That's it. That's the real point. And whenever you see this meme with sukoon, know you have to change it to a dhamma if it's followed by another, immediately followed by a letter with sukoon. Okay, point number 8 is very, very brief. It's the word abshir from bushra, good news. Glad tidings, it literally means rejoice at the good news. If somebody said to you, abshir, it means rejoice at the good news. It is said in reply to a request. Yani somebody's asking for something, if somebody's making a request, and they said to you, abshir, this implies, don't worry, you will get what you want. And if somebody said, I need some money right now, and the person said to them, abshir, that means, don't worry, you're going to get what you want. Okay, abshir means rejoice at the good news. It implies, don't worry, you'll get what you want. The last point is thuluthun, one-third. So fractions, this should be fractions, F-R-A-C-T-I-O-N-S, fractions meaning one-third, one-fourth, one-fifth, etc., up to one-tenth, are on the pattern, the wazn of fu'ulun. The first radical taking dhamma, the second radical taking dhamma. Fu'ulun. Fractions are on the pattern of fu'ulun. The dhamma of the second letter, however, the ayn, the second radical, that dhamma is mostly omitted. Thuluthun and sudusun, however, retain it. Yani, so the original pattern for fractions is fu'ulun, dhamma, fu'ulun. But the second radical's dhamma is mostly omitted. Mostly. Okay, it's mostly omitted. So instead of a dhamma, it may be a sukoon. However, usually for sudusun, 1/6, and thuluthun, 1/3, it is not omitted. It is retained. It is retained. Okay? So this point, Yani, we'll deal with Yani when we do the exercises for this lesson. But the main thing is that Yani, these fractions, nusfun, thuluthun, rubu'un, khumusun, sudusun, subu'un, thumunun, tus'un, ushrun, Yani, they are from the numbers 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 on the pattern of fold. That's all it is. Okay, so that's the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of grammar. The vocabulary on page 26, we're going to read from the right column first. Al-usbu'u al-madi, Yani, last week. Al-madi means the past, right? Al-usbu'u al-madi, last week. Manaratun means a minaret on the masjid. Lihyatun means a beard that a man has on his face. Alin means high, something that's very high or very loud. The feminine form of alin is aliyatun. Mulawwanun, with shadda on the waw and fatta. Mulawwanun means something that is has color, laun, colored, something that has been colored. Sabahun, with sad and ha. Sabahun means morning. Nusfun means half of something, a fraction. Masha means he walked. Akhada means he took. Wada'a, with dad and ayn. Wada'a means he placed or put something down. Wajada means he found something. Bahathan means he looked for, searched for something. This verb bahatha is used with the preposition an, to search for something. Left hand column, miknasatun means a broom. Navaratun, with shadda on the va, fatta elongated by alif. Navaratun means spectacles or eyeglasses. Suratun, with sad, means a picture, as opposed to suratun with seen, means a chapter of the Quran. Suratun means a picture. Sabunun, with sad again, means soap that you wash with. Asirun, with sad, ayn and sad, means juice that you drink. Quratul qadami means football. Yani, qura means a ball, qadam means foot. Quratul qadami, the Yani, ball of the foot, football, which actually refers to soccer, not like American football. Sullamun means staircase, Yani, that you walk up the stairs. Ajalatun means a wheel. Idha'atun means broadcasting or radio station. Al-barihata means last night. Burtuqalun means an orange, like an orange that you eat, apple and orange. Qurata sallati means basketball. Qura, ball. As-salla means basket. Qurata sallati means basketball. Okay, now we're going to just, in the time that remains, we're going to look at the English, the Arabic text at the beginning of lesson 7. The main thing that we wanted to cover here is the grammar points and the other points that are contained in this lesson number 7. Alhamdulillah, we took our time and tried to cover all of them. I hope much of it is clear to you. Whatever is not, inshallah, when we come back to it, you'll have a second chance, another chance to Yani, get these points, inshallah, when we study the full lesson, and when we do our full study of Medina Book 2. Okay, so now I just want to see some of the vocabulary and some of the grammar in this lesson. We want to see it in context, okay? We want to see what it looks like in real sentence structure, okay? So we're going to read from page 46 of the Arabic text of the book. and translate and try to identify some of the forms of the past tense verb that we took in this lesson, as well as the forms that we took in previous lessons, and some of the other points that were covered in this lesson. We're going to try to identify some of them. We want to read, practice our reading. We want to translate, see if we can understand, and we also want to identify the grammar points, especially the past tense verb forms tum, second person masculine plural, tun, second person feminine plural, and na, as in the habna, yani first person plural, especially those forms of the verb. Okay, begins on page 46 at Darsu Asabio, lesson 7, or the seventh lesson. Seventh lesson. The father says, Aina zahabtum ba'da darsi ya abna'i. The word that we're going to look at here is zahabtum, second person, masculine plural, speaking to a group of males. Aina zahabtum. Where did you all go? Ba'da ad-darsi, after the lesson. Ya abna'i, O my sons. And abna, the sons responded, zahabna ila al-mal'abi. Okay, this is the past tense form for first person plural. Na, zahabna, meaning nahnu, zahabna ila al-mal'abi. We went to the mal'ab, to the playground. The father says, أكرت القدم لعبتم أم كرت السلة؟ أكرت القدم, that's the first choice. لعبتم أم كرت السلة, that's the second choice. Remember we said that M, when it's used in an interrogative sentence, question, that the first one choice has to come after Hamza, and the second choice has to come immediately after M. So we see here the first choice قرت القدم, second choice قرت السلة. أقرت القدم لعبتم, was it يعني football that you all played, أم قرت السلة, or basketball. The son said لعبنا, this is first person plural, past tense verb form, لعبنا, we played اليوم, today قرت القدم, today we played basketball. لعبنا قرت, I mean football. لعبنا كرة السلة في الأسبوع الماضي. لعبنا, we played basketball في الأسبوع الماضي, last week. The father says, أما ذهبتم إلى المكتبة اليوم. Here's ما negating the past tense verb. أما ذهبتم, this is a negative question. أما ذهبتم, did you all not go to the maktaba, to the library, al-yawma, today? They answered, bala, dhabna, yes, we did go. Okay, remember the negative question, you don't say nam, you say bala, yes, dhabna. The father says, ماذا قرأتم هناك? Here the verb form, second person masculine plural, tum. ماذا قرأتم هناك? What did you all read there? The children, the boys said, قرأنا الصحف. قرأنا, this first person, plural form, نا. قرأنا, نحن قرأنا الصحف. We read the newspapers. The father said, أسمعتم الأخبار من الإذاعة اليوم. And again here, سمعتم, the meme with سكون, يعني followed by ألف لام. We're going to add a dhamma, right? So if you read it together, instead of stopping on asami'tum, we're going to say asami'tumul akhbara min al-idha'ati al-yawma. Did you all hear the akhbar, the news, min al-idha', from the radio or broadcasting station, al-yawma, today? Okay, asami'tum, we're going to add a dhamma because of iltiqa sakinain. Asami'tumul akhbara min al-idha'ati al-yawma. Did you all hear the news from the radio today? The son said, Naam sami'naha. Yes, we heard it. Yani the akhbar. Here, the pronoun ha is feminine singular because akhbar, even though it's from khaba, which is masculine, but it's a gairu akil plural. So we treat it as though it's feminine singular. So the pronoun referring back to akhbar is the feminine singular ha. Naam sami'naha. Yes, we heard it, the akhbar. The father says, من أي إذاعة سمعتم? Yani from what station did you all listen? Did you hear? From what station did you listen? من أي إذاعة سمعتم أنتم؟ الأبناء سمعنا نحن سمعنا من ثلاث إذاعة. We listened to three broadcasting stations. Three. Number one, من إذاعة الرياض. From the Riyadh Broadcasting Station, وإذاعة القاهرة. And from the Cairo Broadcasting Station, وإذاعة لندن. And from the London Broadcasting Station. The father says, سمعت أن بلالا مريض وأنه في المستشفى. الصحيح هذا؟ يعني, I heard that Bilal is sick, مريض وأنه في المستشفى, and that he is in the hospital. الصحيح هذا, is this correct? The boy said, نعم, هذا صحيح شفاه الله. Yes, this is correct. And then they prayed for him, شفاه الله. May Allah cure him. May Allah cure him. This شفاه الله, this is a past tense verb, and we'll learn in the future that the past tense verb is used sometimes as a form of supplication. So, even though it literally means Allah healed him, what is intended here is may Allah heal him. Yani the past tense verb used with the meaning of future as a dua. شفاه الله. May Allah heal him. The father then says, آمين. يعني may Allah accept your dua. متى دخل المستشفى? When did he enter the hospital? The boy said, دخل قبل ثلاثة أيام. He entered before 3 days or 3 days ago. The father, أين الكتاب ذو الغلاف الأحمر الذي كان في غرفتي أرأيتموه. Here there are a number of things in this sentence. First we want to just translate it. أين الكتاب, where's the book? ذو الغلاف الأحمر that has a red cover. الذي كان في غرفتي, which was in my room. أرأيتموه, did you all see it? That's the translation. So what do we have in here? We have أين الكتاب, that's the منعوت, the word that's being described by ذو. الكتاب is definite, so we have to make ذو definite. How? By الغلاف being definite. So it makes ذو definite, so it agrees with الكتاب. الأحمر is a not describing الغلاف, meaning a red cover. الذي is a اسم موصول, relative pronoun. كان في غرفتي, that was, كان was in my room. أرأيتموه, يعني did you all see it? Here we have أرأيتم ميم, يعني when this form of the second person masculine plural form of the verb is followed by a pronoun, is separated by dhamma waw. أرأيتم هو became أرأيتموه. Did you all see it? Yusuf says, أنا أخذته البارحة وقرأت نصفه. أنا أخذته, I took it, البارحة, last night, وقرأت, and I read نصفه, half of it, نصفه, I read half of it. The father says, وأين المجلة التي كانت, feminine form of كان, كانت, was, تحت ذاك الكتاب. وأين المجلة, and where's the magazine, التي, which, كانت, was, تحت, under ذاك الكتاب, under that book. Where's the مجلة التي كانت تحت ذاك الكتاب. Bilal says, أهذه هي, is this it? The father says, لا, المجلة ذات الغلاف الأصفر. No, the magazine which possess a cover, that a yellow cover. يعني الأصفر is a not describing غلاف. That is a not describing المجلة. مجلة is definite, so that has to be made definite by the مضاف إليه, الغلاف being definite. That makes that definite, so it agrees with المجلة. Remember that too is the feminine form of ذو. Feminine form of ذو is that too. المجلة is feminine, so that too is a not, it has to be feminine as well. Marwan says, هي عندي أخذتها اليوم. يعني then Marwan, when he knows that it is the magazine that has the yellow cover, he says, هي عندي, it is with me, I have it. أخذتها, I took it, al-yawma, today. At this moment, they're describing what's happening now. Yarunnu al-jarasu, the doorbell is ringing. Fayakumu marwanu, so Marwan gets up. Wayaftahu al-baba, he opens the front, the door of the house. Watadkhulu akhawatuhu, and his sisters enter. When the girls enter, they said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the salam of Allah be upon you all, and the rahmah of Allah and his blessings. Al-jami'. Everybody in the house then responds by saying, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the salam of Allah and the mercy of Allah and his blessings be upon you all. Returning the greeting. The father says, Aina dhahabtunna ya banati. Where did you all go, O my daughters? Here, dhahabtunna. Tunna is the pronoun for the second person, feminine, plural. Tunna, second person, feminine, plural. Aina dhahabtunna. Where did you all go? Speaking to the girls. Oh, my daughters. They answered, dhahabna, first person, plural, dhahabna li ziyarati al-mudirati. We went for visiting, to visit the female, the principal. The father says, Amashaytunna, again the pronoun for second person feminine plural, tunna. Amashaytunna, yani the verb is masha. Amashaytunna, did you all walk? Am dhahabtunna bisayyarati, or did you all go by car? Again, we have am here, an interrogative question. The first choice is mashaytunna, the second choice is dhahabtunna. Did you all go walking, or did you all go by car? Mashaytunna aw dhahabtunna bisayyarati. The girls answered, Mashayna, we walked. Li'anna baytaha, because her house, meaning the mudira, the principal, her house, baytaha, qareebun min madrasatina. It is near from our school. Yani notice that, wa qareeb, in English you say near to, in Arabic you say near from. Qareebun min, na qareebun ila. Qareebun min madrasatina. Because her house is near from our school. Huwa bayna al-masjidi wal-madrasati. Yani her house, it is bayna, between al-masjidi wal-madrasati, between the masjid and the school. Turn to page 48. The father, he says, awajadtunnaha, awajad, yani wajadtunna. Tunna is the pronoun here, second person, feminine plural. Awajadtunnaha fil bayti, did you all find her in the house? The girls answered, na'am. Wajadnaha, we found her, plural. Wajadna, we, nahnu wajadnaha, we found her. Jalasna, also first person plural, jalasna indaha thulutha sa'atin. We sat with her a third of an hour. A third of an hour, yani 20 minutes. Wa kharajna min baytiha fi sa'ati al-khamisati. Wa kharajna, nahnu kharajna, we went out, we left from her house fi sa'ati al-khamisati, yani the fifth hour or 5 o'clock. The father says, أَرَأَيْتُنَّ الْمَكْنَسَةَ يَا بَنَاتُ. Did you all see? Again, the verb form is second person, feminine, plural. تُنَّ. أَرَأَيْتُنَّ. رَأَى means to see. Did you all see? الْمَكْنَسَةَ, the broom, يَا بَنَاتُ, O daughters. بَحَثْتُ عَنْهَا كَثِيرًا وَمَا وَجَدْتُهَا. I searched anha, yani an al-miknasa. I searched for it kathiran, a lot. Wama wajadtuha, and I didn't find it. Yani al-miknasa, I didn't find it. Su'ad says, ana wada'tuha tahta sullami hadha as-sabaha. Ana wada'tuha. Wada'a means to put, or to put something down. Ana wada'tuha, I put it down. تحت السلمي, under the staircase, هذا الصباح, this morning. Marwan says, يا أمي, أفي الثلاجة ماء بارد. O mother, is there in the ثلاجة, the refrigerator, ماء بارد, cold water? نحن عطاش, we are all thirsty. عطاش, Yani is the plural of atashanu. The feminine of atashan is atasha without the noon, and the plural is on the pattern of fi'al, aytashun. Nahnu aytashun. We are thirsty. The mother responding to his request, abshir. Yani, rejoice in the good news. Meaning, yani, what you are asking for, you will get. Abshir. Fiha ma'un baridun. In it, yani, fi thalaja. Fi thalaja. In the thalaja, fiha ma'un baridun. In it is cold water. Wa asirun burtuqalin. And also orange juice. And also orange juice. Naam. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of the reading of the Arabic text and the analysis and translation of it, and trying to identify some of the vocabulary words that are new and the grammatical points that we covered in this particular lesson. I hope, inshallah, that the lesson is clear. And again, this is an introduction. It's just a preview of yani the first half of Medina Book 2. We want to just kind of familiarize ourselves with the grammar and familiarize ourselves with the vocabulary, so that when we complete this preview and we go back and do Medina Book 2, inshallah, we'll find it somewhat easier than it has been for some people in the past when they yani made the transition directly from Book 1 to Book 2 without this kind of preview. I hope, inshallah, that it has been beneficial, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself first and for all of you that He grant us success in whatever we're trying to do, yani for His pleasure, that He grant us success, yani in doing it sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the authentic sunnah, the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that He record, that He recognize, record, and reward yani the good deeds that we do, that He pardon our mistakes, that He elevate our station, and that He keep us firm upon the straight path until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a cure and healing for our sick, and that He grant us patience with the trials that we are confronted with, and that He enable us to strengthen our trust in Him, our dependence upon Him, and our reliance upon Him. For indeed, whoever puts their trust and their reliance and the dependence upon Allah totally, Allah will suffice them totally. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. So whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to suffice us in every situation, in our worldly affairs, in our religious affairs, that He protect us from harm, and that He enable us to attain that which is of benefit. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for those who believe. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please review for homework yani the lessons that we covered up until now, up until today's lesson number 7, and as well yani review some of those lessons tomorrow, and then inshallah I'll be sending a homework assignment related to the next lesson number 8 bi idhnillah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khairan.